Misogyny in politics. Here we go again. Westminster condemns misogyny towards Angela Rayner, but will it make any difference? Once again, misogyny and classism in politics, both within Parliament and the wider lobby of media and public relations, has become headline news. Deputy Labour Party leader Angela Rayner has accused the Conservatives of spreading desperate, perverted smears against her. A report in the Mail on Sunday this weekend claimed she tried to distract the Prime Minister in the Commons during Prime Minister's questions by crossing and uncrossing her legs, basic instinct style. We want to take you through the details of the Mail on Sunday story, the reaction from political figures, and the row over misogyny in the aftermath of the story. The report. The story printed in the Mail on Sunday newspaper quoted unnamed Conservative MPs claiming that Rayner attempts to distract Boris Johnson when he is at the dispatch box by crossing and uncrossing her legs. The report, now only available online behind a paywall to Mail Plus, also mocked Rayner for her lack of Oxford University debate training. The sources suggested she attempted to put Johnson off his stride as she knows she can't compete with him during debates. Rayner gave an interview to Lorraine Kelly on ITV on Tuesday, the 26th of April, that was widely shared on social media, in which she said the article wasn't just about me as a woman, it was also steeped in classism and about where I come from, where I grew up. For those paranters who didn't read it, and will not give the Mail on Sunday any money, we're sure you get this sickening, bigoted, degrading picture. The reaction. On Twitter, Rayner said, "I stand accused of a ploy to distract the helpless PM by being a woman, having legs, and wearing clothes. I am conspiring to put him off his stride." Johnson condemned the article on Twitter. "As much as I disagree with Angela Rayner on almost every political issue, I respect her as a parliamentarian and deplore the misogyny directed at her anonymously today." Rayner received supportive comments on social media from Labour leader Keir Starmer, Mayor of London Sadiq Khan, and Conservative MPs, including Caroline Noakes. She has since thanked people for their outpouring of support, adding women deserve so much better. The reaction in the press from journalists and political commentators has broadly supported the disgust at the misogyny in the article. Calls that the article was simply a report on the anonymous Conservatives' information in the public interest were rebuked, with authors pointing out how the story was framed as gossip rather than a thoughtful or considered report about misogyny and classism. That the public see women politicians vilified in the media so often is a sign of an exclusive admittance into Parliament. Less women, including working class, disabled, queer and BAME women, will feel safe or encouraged to participate in politics, which ultimately harms democracy if the only people participating are not representative of everyone. Others mentioned that the humour defence for the article, that Rayner would laugh at such an article, was unacceptable. Women are often forced into situations where they have to laugh along at misogynistic jokes, not because they are funny, but because the women are not safe. It seems that the reaction to this story is at least showing how there is less debate among politicians and correspondents that these articles are misogynistic and unacceptable. The question is, who's going to address the elephant in the room? The misogyny of the anonymous sources themselves. The aftermath. Even if no one is criticizing the sources, the misogyny of the editorial leadership which allowed the article has at least come under fire. The Speaker of the House of Commons, Lindsay Hoyle, told MPs, "Media freedom is one of the building blocks of our democracy. However, I share the views expressed by a wide range of members, including, I believe, the Prime Minister, that yesterday's article was reporting unsubstantiated claims that were misogynistic and offensive." Hoyle had summoned the newspaper's editor, David Dillon, to discuss the paper's decision to publish the story, but Dillon refused to attend. Writing in the Daily Mail, Dillon responded that he would not take instruction from officials of the House of Commons, however august they may be, and that journalists must be free to report what they are told by MPs about conversations which take place in the House of Commons. There are calls for the reporter who wrote the story to lose his parliamentary pass. Hoyle has dismissed calls for reporters to lose their passes in previous situations, but hasn't confirmed either way his position on this story. What's next? Yesterday, in PMQs, the party leader made assurances to voters before the local elections next week. But the misogyny row was still tangible inside the Commons. The balance of women in local councils is just as bad as in Parliament, with the data even more opaque and inaccessible. Particularly well-timed, the Green MP Caroline Lucas secured an agreement from the Prime Minister that sexual harassment is a sackable offence. There's no sign of a meaningful commitment to addressing the pervasive culture of misogyny, classism and bias in Westminster yet. With every sexist article published, and with every woman dissuaded from entering Parliament, progressive politics is one step further away because power will continue to be guarded by an elite few. The Parenting Conclusion. When writing a dissertation on how women in politics are perceived by the media back in 2019, I didn't realise how little would have changed since the Me Too movement. Every time an article focuses on a politician as a seductress, or the pet of a male politician, or as a hyper-masculinised iron lady, we undermine the competence of that politician. It normalises how we look at women as less natural politicians, and it excludes women from power. It's right to call out misogyny wherever we find it, and for everyone screaming, "The women are complaining again," damn right,